altar, the interpreter, and the teacher of the scripture may again reveal from your word the mighty power of God. May again reveal to us that God is God. And that when we submit to Him, He is able to protect us. Thank you, God. That even though we live 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years after this event that we're going to talk today, you are the same. You have the same power. And you have the same ability. So, Father, I pray that you will bless us and bring back into our life confidence in your word, trustworthiness in your word. Because we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The sermon today closed the series of four sermons on the character of men. And the first sermon was about Lazarus on the first Sunday this month, and talks about Lazarus, the man who was resurrected. If you want to know, that's where life really begins, with the resurrection of our soul. Otherwise, you cannot see the might and the power of God. We talk about Moses' elders on Father's Day, even though our audience in KKMC listened to that sermon last Sunday. I want you to know that Moses need help. And Jethro, his father-in-law, gave the clue by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you need able men. Able men. And then we talked on Saul last Sunday. And here is a man in which we feel sorry about him. He himself confessed it. He said, I have played the fool. And that was a terrible statement in the light of his life. Now today I bring your attention to a man well known by people in America. In some other parts of the world, if you talk about Daniel, maybe they don't know who I'm talking about. But when you talk about Daniel in America, in our society, people know who I'm talking about. And the incident on Daniel chapter 6 is well known by everybody. Daniel in the lion's pit is very well known by everybody. I want to concentrate my thinking on verse 23, where the Bible said that no manner of hurt was found in him. And the Bible tells us the reason. Because he is Daniel, believed in his God. I'm talking about the man who was Secretary of State. I'm talking about the janitor. It's nothing wrong to be a janitor, but I'm not talking about a janitor in the King's Court. I'm talking about the Secretary of State of the greatest and most gentle Iranian king, Darius the Great. And his Secretary of State said, no manner of hurt was found in him, because the Secretary of State of the most powerful kingdom at that moment believe in his God. See, in today's society, we are encircled by teachers who assure us that faith in God as a principle by which to live is the obsolete conception of ancient, unscientific, unenlightened people. If you are a graduate of a university who has 4 years of high school, 4 years of college, and 6 or 7, 8 years of graduate school, and you have your doctorate degree, then you don't need God. That thing of believing in God is very unenlightened. What kind of guy? Where you went to a school that you believe in God? I'm sure that if you are one of those men, you experience sometimes when you witness or you carry a Bible to your work to read in lunchtime, people will ask you, what is that? Well, that's the Bible. And they will say to you, come on, A man with graduate studies will read the Bible, read the Playboy magazine. That's better. That's what they think. That's what happened to me. And maybe what happened to many of you. My purpose today is not criticize those people, but love them and share with them the reason why I believe in this book called the Bible. Look in the text, Daniel 6:23. The kings come down and is found in page 659, if you use the Bible, same Bible I use in the pulpit to preach, 659. The text said two things as you read it. The text said that Daniel, in Daniel was found no manner of hurt. That's the first thing the text said. And then the second thing that the text said is this. Because he believed in his God. So I'm going to talk to you about what the text really says. Number one, I'm interested to know what kind of faith Daniel had that was so powerful that in a critical situation in his life was very valuable and got him out of trouble. And then I also want to talk on the first statement of the text, God's care of Daniel. So actually, I want to have a sermon, very brief, 2 points only. Daniel's faith, and then God's care of Daniel. And my hope is this, that you as an individual, and I as an individual, when we are in a crisis, in a deep crisis like Daniel, my hope is that you will remember these texts. And you will remember what God Daniel out of trouble. We're not the lawyers of the court in Iran. We're not the psychologists, and they have many. And we're not the philosophers. Was not an articulation of an excuse about what he has done. But rather God. A man of principle who trusts in his God. And I hope, my hope is, I know we live in a very fast society in California. But my hope is that you and I, in a moment of crisis, will be able to find in the Bible the principle that will keep us under God's care. Let's work together. First, Daniel's faith in God. There were at least four things, as you read the book of Daniel, in order to know Daniel, you need to read the book of Daniel maybe 100 times like I did, just to pinpoint 4 psychological development of his faith. There are 4 things that is clear in the book about Daniel's faith. 1 is clarity. And I'm going to elaborate on each one of them. 1 is clarity. 2 is loyalty. 3 is reliability. He was reliable. And number 4, certainty. He was not confused. All right, let's work in each one of these elements, because if these elements are clear in your mind and at practice in your heart, the same thing that happened to Daniel will happen to you. First element in Daniel's life was clarity. And he was clear, no confused about 3 little things. A, he was clear about God's wisdom. Look with me in chapter 2, page 651, in chapter 2, in verse 16 to 20. Let me read you this section. As you know, in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, the prior king of Darius, he had a remarkable dream. And he asked the astrologers and all those witchcraft people around him to reveal the dream, and nobody can. And so Nebuchadnezzar was absolutely furious. And he said, everybody die, that's it. Everybody who has college degree die. They are good for nothing. Except that the man in the jail said, you know, there is one of the Hebrew guys,
He looks a good cookie to me. He knows everything. Remember, he had an experience in chapter 1 with him. He said, he has a good son. You call him. And they called him. And the king was making Daniel a great man. He said, they told me you have a great brain. Now tell me. Daniel, chapter 2, verse 16. At that moment, look what happened. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he will give him time and that he will show the king the interpretation. When the king said, Daniel, this is my problem. How good it is to say to the people who tells you the problem, let me sleep with this thought and I come back with you. That's what he did. Verse 16. Why did he need time? Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they will desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. In other words, he went and prayed. He said, fellows, we got a good topic for prayer meeting today. So what is it? Unless God reveals us his secret, we're all dead. So we better pray. I wish there will be a decree like that in the land so you come to pray meeting on Wednesday. Verse 18. That they will desire mercies of God of heaven concerning his secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are what? Are his. Verse 21. And he changed the times and the seasons and removed kings and set up kings. He gave wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Daniel's faith, he was clear about God's wisdom. If you really like to have wisdom, you need to read this book and ask God to give it to you. It's clear in James 1:5, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask God who gave that abundantly, but verse 6 said, no wavering, because God is not pleased with somebody who is like the wave of the sea. You cannot ask God's wisdom to solve your marriage and go to a psychologist to see what he said. You can't do that. You cannot ask God's wisdom to raise your children and go to some place to take lessons on how to raise your children. You go to the wisdom, who is the Bible. Christ is the wisdom of God. So he was clear. It's nice to see people when they are very clear, when they have one mind, the mind of Christ. All right? He was clear also about God's sovereignty. Look at verse 21 again. Chapter 2, verse 21. In America today, people, you read the newspapers and they put president, whether you like it or not, he's our president and we should respect and honor him, Brother Clinton. And people crucify him, and then when the other guy do something right, they crucify him. They look some papers about 150 years ago, you did this and this, and your grandparents did this and this. You know, it's just unbelievable how American society lives by propaganda. But I tell you, who's going to be president after November? Right here in verse 21. And he, God, changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and set up kings. He gave wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He understood God's sovereignty. In a given time in history, God has split England and created America for a good reason, to worship God in spirit and in truth. And those Americans who came here, even though their faith is questionable, they have a real homestead of God. And even though they were not Baptists as you and I are, even though they were not religious as you and I are, they have the faith of God embedded by somewhere of teaching, and they were respectful of God. When you read in the state of Delaware, in their constitution, that when the state was created, in order to be elected, you need to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something was right in America. And when you read the history, when you go to Washington, D.C., as I did in 1976, and you stand before Lincoln, and you read all his discourses, God was number one in his life, and he wants America to be respected. That was America is great. That is what attracted me to America, the great respect of God and the missionaries. I thought this was heaven on earth in 1965, and I was shocked after 1 week. You know, amazing. Verse 21. He was clear about sovereignty. God is sovereign, and as long as America respects God, He will keep us free. Number three. He was clear about God's holiness. Something that some people call works. You better call works. This is good works from God. Chapter 1 of Daniel, page 650, verse 6 to 9. Daniel, a 17, 18 years old boy, is captured and placed in an Iranian compound. Iranians and Iraqis are brilliant people, brilliant. And they respect another man who is brilliant. And they very soon, they spot three elected good guys, Daniel and his companion. And they said, we're going to train these fellows according to our laws, and we're going to have great people. But look at what happened. Chapter 1, verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs say gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach. And to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel unto favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel said, according to the law of the Jew, here is your diet. That was part of the ceremonial law. And Daniel said, I will not mix my diet, because if I do it, I break the law. And you think that standing for Christ Jesus in a society which is evil will give you trouble? No, look at verse 9. And God, again, gave grace to Daniel in front of the people and said, you're okay. He knew what holiness is. And holiness, ladies and gentlemen, is to respect this book called the Bible. And you do it with gentleness and kindness. You do it with love. You love the people, but you are firm with the principle. You are kind with the people. Kind with the people, but firm with the principle. Anything less than that is barbarian. Not to be kind with the people is barbarian. You need to be kind with the people and firm with the principle. And so Daniel, in reality, he was clear. He has a clear concept of God. Number two, he was loyal. Look in chapter 6 again, verses 1 to 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. It pleased Darius, this is the second king. Can you imagine a new administration comes into power and the people said, you really want to have a good? Take the old Secretary of State, bring it back. And so Daniel, for the second time, actually four times, became Secretary of State of four different kings. And he said, you better get Daniel because he knows everything. So here you are. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel was number one, not because he had better grades in the school. Daniel was number one, not because he had two doctor's degrees. Daniel was number one because he was a man of integrity. You studied that today in Sunday school. That's what every Christian should be, a man, a woman of integrity. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. When you stand for the Lord, and when you are a woman or a man of integrity, people envy you and they try to knock you down. That's exactly what happened. Everyone, they tell me, look at what happened. My boss or my other guys do this to me. Well, that's not new. That happened right here. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion, no fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. He was a man of loyalty. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. There is no, this guy is not going to fail, except he really loved God more than anything else. We get him. Verse 6, then these presidents and princesses assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. 7, and all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 40 days, save of these, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, which alter not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Now look at verse 10. Look at what happened. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he was scared to death. No, he went into his house, and I'm going to add this, and opened all his windows, and looked into Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knee 3 times a day and prayed. He was loyal to principle. He was loyal to principle. Doesn't matter what the situation is. A lot of people said, well, you know, the environment today is bad. What do you think about this environment? They see that you cannot pray in your own home. What do you think about this environment? So far, President Clinton has not come too far in that way. That could happen. Then another president come in and said, nobody can pray except pray to me. You never know. Loyalty. He was absolutely reliable. You can count with him. Let's pick up this story in verse 10 now and read verse 11 to 16. Then, verse 11, these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They sent the CIA and the FBI and said, let's check. Let's put some speakers somewhere, some microphone somewhere. And they found, and we had the recording now, Daniel. You did it. Verse 12. Then they came near and they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree? And every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altered not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. You know what the king said? They called the lawyers. Let's find between lines something that we can save him. The king wanted to do it. The king wanted to save him. But look at verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persia is that no decree, no statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou serve continually, he will deliver thee. Now notice the word. The King James pick up the real emphasis of the Hebrew. The God that you serve will deliver thee. No, may deliver. nor might deliver thee. You got the idea? No subjunctive. There is no subjunctive in Hebrew anyway. They cannot use it. In Hebrew you said no or yes. The Americans have fixed with the English a subjunctive on the Hebrew language, but there is no such a thing. Either you say yes or you say no in Hebrew. It's simple. The simple language to learn. And so the king knew he's a reliable fellow, and he believes in a reliable God. And he said, oh, my friend, I know your God will save you. So I put you in the pit, but I know that God is reliable. Brothers and sisters, your faith has to find a reliable God. Either he is God or he is not. Some people say, you know, I have so-and-so, I have a friend, I have a relative. Very hard, he denied the Lord. Well, God is able to save. It's able to save, said the book of Hebrews 7:25, to the uttermost. It's able to save dead people like you and I were. So we have to rely not in our strategic. We have to rely not in what we can do. We have to rely in what he can do. That's the way. That's why reliability. And then finally, certainty. Verse 23 clearly said that no manner of hurt was found in him because he simply believed in his God. That's simple. It's simple. You have to believe in God. And God is not a dream through the roof. It's not a voice through the roof. It's not a dream in your bed. God is right here in the pages of this book, the Holy Bible. And you read it and believe it. Simple like that. Don't try to find out if this word or these other words. Don't try to figure out the Hebrew or the Greek. Don't try to go around. Read it and believe it. And that will make you strong and great. Children, obey your parents. But Pastor, sometimes my parents are crazy. Yes, it is. But the Bible said, children, obey your parents so they can be good with you. And the Bible is clear about matrimony. It's clear about how to work. You really never want to be fired. You work unto the Lord. And your boss never can afford to fire you. Don't work for the union. Throw away the union. You work for the Lord. And you work so hard that your boss cannot find the way to fire you, because if he fire you, he lose money. I think, well, that's the way to do it. That's what the Bible said. That's the philosophy of God. I tell you, it's just fantastic. It's just incredible. And Daniel was like this. Clear, loyal, reliable, certain. That's the man that Daniel was through his faith. Now, how did God... Now, he's on the pit in their lions. I don't want to be in a pit with dogs. Imagine with lions, all right? What is that German dog, black and with a long mouth, really mean dog? What's the name of that dog? A Doberman. I don't want to be with one Doberman in a pit. Now, he's with lions. If God took care of him, how? Well, verse 20 to 22, a miracle happened. Look at what happened. And when he came to the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Verse 21, Daniel said, O king, live forever. What a respectful man. He's talking to the guy who threw him in the lion's den. He's talking to the man who said, go and die. And he hold his respect. Ladies and gentlemen, we always respectful, even of our enemies. And verse 22 said, my God, look at how he credit God. My God has sent, verse 22, his angel, and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Yes, king, I don't have to worry. The God that took care of me when everything was well is the same God that take care of me when everything goes bad. You got the idea? Usually, all of us panic when things go bad. And we lose control. That the same God that controls us and bless us when everything goes well is the same God that will take care of you when everything goes wrong. So a miracle happened. God protected him. Now, instructiveness also happened here. I want you to know that God did not save Daniel from being put into the lion's den. No. He saved him in it and brought him out. You saw that? God did not intervene and stop Darius to put Daniel into the den. No. God came and saved Daniel right in the middle of a crisis. He put him in a crisis where Daniel can do nothing, neither everybody can do nothing, and God saved it right there. Isn't that fantastic? You know what reminds me that? Of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There is no trials at 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There is no, why don't you look on it in your Bible? It's in page 846 if you have a black Bible. 846. There is no temptation, there is no trial that came unto you that is common to man. But with the trial, God makes the way of escape. You see that? God has a sovereign power to put any one of his children for a given purpose in a very critical condition, in a very crisis. And the same God that placed you in a crisis, the same God makes you the way of escape. Now, the way of escape is not psychology. The way of escape is not psychiatry. The way of escape is not philosophy. The way of escape is not contemporary thinking. The way of escape is this book that has mapped out all the way of escapes. If a husband said, my wife doesn't cook enchiladas very well, so I don't like it. Well, I have a solution for that. Not send them to a school to make enchiladas, but in 1 Peter 3:7 said, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. You don't know your wife. You have to dwell with your wife and know which button to push so that you can live together. That's all. And there is no perfect wife, and there is no perfect husband. And the Bible has a solution. Together with a trial. Some people said, why I marry these women? Because God wants to. And what I do now? You find the way out. You find how to live with your wife. You find how to please your wife with the things of this world, said the scripture. You find how to lead your wife through the instruction of God's word. You find a way to lead your wife to the mighty God of heaven. And that's the way. It's a great work. Maybe you have to spend the whole life. One lady told me, I spent 38 years of misery. Of misery. You don't know what I went through. But I was faithful to the scripture. And one day my husband said, read me that Bible. And I was scared. And then she said, they were in vacation in Jerusalem. And the guy was Arab. And you know the Arabs will tell you the story a little different than the Jewish guy, because the Arabs claim every piece of the land as theirs. From Ishmael's point of view. Grandma told me that. And you know what happened? He said, you know better than this man. We go to the hotel and tonight we don't sleep. We want to find out what is that whale. What in the Bible says this? Show me in the Bible the real geography. And then showing the real geography, and where did Jesus was born? And Jesus born here. And when did he came? And she was more scared. And finally he said, now I believe. And she said, I don't believe, but he believed. And I thought that she knew the man, married for 38 years to the wrong man. She said, that was not right. He said, I asked the Lord, I knelt down and I said, Lord, forgive me. Many times I pray and I said, I'm married to the wrong man. Lord, forgive me. And then the next day it was a different man. And the man was in my first church and the Lord sat there smiling. And I knew something was wrong. He was smiling. I checked my notes. I said, I'm preaching right or wrong? Because his guy was smiling. He shook my hand and started crying. I made my wife's life miserable for 38 years. But I'm so glad that God showed mercy to me. What broke that heart, stone heart? A woman who believed 1 Peter 3:1. I will be quiet. And I will live for God. And I'm going to let God do whatever he wants to. One thing I know, I'm saved. So what? If the man killed me, so what? I'm in heaven. I'm going to live for God. And the man was saved. The instructions is that God will deal with you in your crisis. Some people pray, God, take me this sickness away. God, take this away. That's not the way to pray. You need to pray, God, deal with me. And there was completeness. You saw in 623, no manner of hurt. No manner of hurt. Believe me, 100% protection when you believe God. 100% protection when you believe God. And then convincingness. If you read in your Bible, verse 23, 24, and 25, you will know that that King Darius made a decree that the whole empire should worship God. He influenced other people. Some people told me, well, this happened in Daniel's time. And you know something, Pastor? Times have greatly changed since Daniel was on earth. And I said to them, but know the God of Daniel. I read it for you. Malachi 3:6 is a very simple text. For I am Jehovah, I change not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, page 698. For I am Jehovah, I change not. Believe me, if you want to be protected, you want to be sure and no manner of hurt will happen to you. You know what that means? That means they maybe kill you, but they cannot take your place in heaven. They maybe destroy you. They maybe kill all your family. But if everybody is a believer in Christ, there is one thing that mankind cannot do, take you out of the kingdom of God. And no doubt a blessing. Father, we thank you today. And we found in the Bible a man who believed in his God. And because he believed in his God, he was protected 100%. Lord, I pray that we, the people of God, thousands of years after, may have the same experience. That we may confess openly with loyalty and reliability that we believe in our God who wrote the Holy Bible. And that we will follow the concepts and the principles and the sayings of thy word regardless. And as we do so, maybe we go through a den of lions. Father, our confidence is not in people, it's not in ourselves. Our confidence is in you. And so, Lord, thank you for saving our souls. Something that mankind cannot touch ever. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes we have good times and sometimes we have tough times in this earth so that we learn to love you more. Oh, God, create in us women and men like Daniel who believe in his God and no manner of hurt was found in him. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Will you stand and sing with me one stanza, 228. My faith has found a resting place. And it is my prayer. It is my prayer. That deep inside you, you have read the Bible. Maybe you're not a member of any church. Maybe you're a member of other churches around here. Doesn't matter. We offer our church as a home for you. But if you don't want it, you want to be a guest, that's fine. But my interest is that you go home and you can say, my faith have found a resting place. Let's sing together, 228. My faith have found a